WTOP goes in-depth on the issues that affect you. It's Ask the Mayor with D.C. Mayor Vince Gray.
This is yet another incursion on the rights of the 600,000 people who live in the District of Columbia.
Live from the Class Enclosed Nerve Center, your hosts Mark C. Graves and Mark Lewis.
We invite your questions this morning to Ask the Mayor at 877-336-1035. That's 877-336-1035. You can email us at WTOP.com. You can join the discussion on our Facebook page or send a question via Twitter. Use the hashtag Ask the Mayor. Here's Mark C. Graves.
Mayor Gray, we appreciate you getting in today. There's a lot to talk about, so let's get right to it. I think a lot of people are concerned about the crime in the Petworth neighborhood that yesterday Chief Lanier said that we had a tourist who was murdered on Tuesday in an alley, but Chief Lanier has now said it's possible that that crime has been linked to a rash of attacks in the Petworth neighborhood. What can you tell residents about that?
Well, I think we've had some real progress, Mark. Last night we had deployed, the chief had deployed a number of undercover officers into the Petworth area in the kind of Emerson, you know, Farragut, Gallatin Street area. And one of them heard a woman screaming. And they immediately went to the scene. They found her writhing in pain and happened to see at the same time a figure, a person in an alley. They went after the person. While he was running, he discarded a backpack. They apprehended him. In the backpack, they found a hammer, a claw hammer with blood on the hammer. Same MO as the other three incidents. So he was arrested, and we think, you know, we have obviously a suspect in this situation. So, again, this was a tragic situation, obviously, but, again, MPD has moved very quickly to seemingly arrest the person who's responsible for
this. Has this person been charged? Do you know anything about this person?
We're beginning to learn more about him at this stage. The only charge at this stage was aggravated assault in this one situation that he was caught in last night.
And what's the status of that victim, that woman? Is she okay?
She's obviously hurt because she was hit in the head with a hammer. But she's alive. I don't know fully what her condition is.
You know, crime has gone down over the years since Chief Lanier has taken over the force, and the homicide rate has dropped considerably. You've had a lot of success there over the years. But it is, one of your detectives said to the press he can't remember the last time a tourist was attacked in this manner and killed in the city. Are you concerned about what that possible message sends as we go into tourist season? Tourism is the second biggest industry in the city. What can you talk to us about that vantage point of this incident?
Well, I certainly don't want to conclude, Mark, that there are any patterns associated with this. While we're continuing to learn more about the suspect, we think this is a case of someone who's mentally ill and someone who acted out, perhaps did not take his medication as he should have. So I think it would be ill-advised and probably just plain inaccurate to draw any conclusions about a pattern of crime here. I think we've got what appears to be an isolated situation, and this person has been apprehended.
And so this is not something then that tourists who are planning on coming to the District of Columbia this summer Cherry Blossom really is the kickoff, should be concerned about?
I don't think so, Mark. And remember, too, this didn't even happen in or even near the downtown area where our tourists typically go. So again, we're continuing to investigate, but a suspect has been apprehended, and it certainly appears that this is isolated.
D.C. Mayor Vincent Gray is here for the next hour, taking your questions via email, Twitter, Facebook, and the old-fashioned telephone. We're going to take a look at what's happening out on the roads, and we'll be right back.
Now more of Ask the Mayor with D.C. Mayor Vince Gray, exclusively on WTOP and WTOP.com. Back to your hosts, Mark C. Graves and Mark Lewis.
To join the discussion, call us now at 877-336-1035. That's 877-336-1035. Email us at WTOP.com or join the discussion on our Facebook page. You can also send in a question via Twitter. Use the hashtag AskTheMayor. Once again, WTOP's Mark C. Graves.
Mayor Gray, just a few minutes ago, we had Joel Ward on this show, the Caps hero of the day, as it were, scored the winning goal over Boston that advances the Caps. Before we revel in that glory, there has been a dark side to this victory, and that is the fact that there are very few African-American players, I think about 28 African-American players in the NHL. And after Joel Ward, who is one of the African-American players, scored that goal, there were a lot of racist comments in the Twitterverse and elsewhere about that. You've been through this, being at a university in your early days where they wouldn't let you pledge into a fraternity. What was your reaction when you saw these racist comments directed at Joel Ward?
Very, very disappointing, Mark. It tells us that we, you know, the challenges that we continue to have in our society. I think, you know, I've stood under and continue to under a mantra of one city, where there ought to be a place for everybody, an equal place for everybody. But again, it shows that we still have, in some parts of our society, very high levels of racism. Actually, I hope that this situation provides an impetus for more of our young African-American youth and children to become interested in hockey. We have an arena over at Fort DuPont that we're going to work to continue to upgrade.
Where Joel Ward actually coaches.
That's right. That's exactly right. And there, in that immediate area, there are many African-American children. I think the issue was getting them more interested in the sport. You know, and even yesteryear, we've been through this with baseball, obviously, with Jackie Robinson. We've been through it with football. We've been through it with basketball. And the pattern tends to be the same. You know, we get to a different place, and I think we'll do the same thing with hockey.
Ted Leonsis, the owner, says this was unforgivable.
It is. It's reprehensible, and I agree with Mr. Leonsis. We have to get past this, and we will. We'll get past it as we see more African American players in the National Hockey League, and we will. This is a celebratory moment for African Americans. It's a celebratory moment for this city. This is one of the greatest series we've ever seen in the Stanley Cup playoffs, Mark, and it will go down in history. And even more so because we won.
Let me ask you, segue into what some people have called reprehensible remarks from Councilmember Barry. In the past few weeks, he apologized about a comment he made about Asian American shop owners in Anacostia. And then he made a comment about Filipino nurses that now the Philippine Embassy is taking exception and wants an apology. What are you saying? I think Chairman Brown has sent a letter to Marion Barry telling him to kind of watch his language when he's talking. What are your thoughts? Do you think Mr. Barry owes an apology to Filipinos or to his constituents?
Well, sure. But at this stage of the game, you have to ask how much will be the positive effect of that, given what happened previously, just recently. The question for me is, why do that? It absolutely has no positive value whatsoever, and all it does is continue to fuel whatever racism or, you know, whatever views people may have that create negative differences, you know, between people here in the city and across the country. Again, I made the comment earlier, when he made the earlier comment, I was extremely disappointed that he owed people, you know, an apology, and he needs to cease and desist. It doesn't help the city. It doesn't move us forward. We need to focus on the real problems of this city. You know, continuing to improve public safety, improve education, continuing to build a fiscally stable city, getting people back to work. Those are the real important issues. And we are increasingly a diverse city and needs to be a place where everybody is respected and everybody has a chance to be successful.
Do you think the city would be better off without Marion Barry in public office?
Well, you know, Marion Barry has done a lot for the city over the years. There are a lot of people who have, you know, continuing high regard for what he has done. You still go out and people will say, I got my first job as a child or a youth, you know, because of Marion Barry. I think he continues to be committed to the growth and development of the city. It is a changing city. There's no question about that. We are a growing city, and I hope that he rethinks his comments and continues, you know, to provide public service that is to the benefit of everyone.
Yesterday on the dais in the city council hearing, he blamed Tom Sherwood, the Channel 4 reporter, for setting him up on that dirty shop remark about the Asian business owners. What do you think? And he really blasted the press for being divisive. What do you think about those comments? You know, Tom Sherwood.
If you don't make those statements, there's nothing to report, Mark. I never heard him deny that he made the statement. You know, there are accounts of the statement being made. Those statements just have no place, and they should not be made.
Let me ask you about Metro. Yesterday, they approved a fare increase of about 5%. The city pays a lot of money into Metro to keep it operating. What do you think about those fare increases?
Well, it's clear that we've got to invest more money into the system. We agreed, along with Maryland and Virginia, as you well know, to provide an additional $50 million a year. The federal government, unfortunately, in its budget this year has reduced its commitment from $150 million to $135 million, which is odd. And the reason for that, of course, was that half the ridership is, you know, the federal workers in the city. There's no question, one, that we're going to have to pay more to maintain a world-class system. But what has to happen, and I think Rich Sarles is certainly the right person to lead this system at this stage, we've got to make sure that we're operating the most efficient system. We can't keep pouring money in if we haven't assured people that we haven't done, that the system hasn't done the best job.
DC Mayor Vince Gray taking your calls on Ask the Mayor.
You're listening to Ask the Mayor with D.C. Mayor Vince Gray on WTOP and WTOP.com. Now back to Mark Seagraves and Mark Lewis.
The number to call if you have a question for the mayor, 877-336-1035. That's 877-336-1035. Or send in your question via Twitter. Use the hashtag AskTheMayor.
And let's get right to the phones. Raymond is calling from DuPont Circle. You're on with the mayor.
Yes, I'd like to ask, why is the D.C. unemployment insurance weekly maximum the same maximum as it was in 1997, in 2012, namely $359 a week?
Well, I wasn't aware that it had been the same for 15 years, but of course, let's remember that unemployment insurance is intended to be temporary, and we've worked very, very hard to get people back to work. Our One City, One Hire program has moved people, now about 2,600 people. We've gotten back to work in the last 4 or 5 months. We're continuing to do that. So I don't think we should look at unemployment insurance as where we want to land up or that we want to keep increasing it. Also, too, the federal government has helped out over time. They've actually provided money to us and other states to be able to supplement what it is that we're able to do. We recognize there's not a lot of money, but at the same time, our goal really is to get people back working again.
Let's get another call. Gary is calling from Mount Airy. Gary, you're on with the D.C. mayor.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning.
Good morning. My question is I have a delivery service, and we deliver a lot down in the Georgetown 14th Street in that area. And there's signs in the alleys that there's no exit or entrance, just one, that says no parking, and we get tickets. And we have signs, put flashers on, the whole bit. When you ask the ticket writers, you know, where am I supposed to park, they tell you they don't care. Find a place to park. Well, you know how hard it is to find a place to park. Why is it we're being, you know, coming down, trying to do work, service the people of D.C., and we get ticketed for it?
Well, let's recognize, too, that we have many residents who live in those areas who really complain quite bitterly about the lack of parking spaces, the people who break the law with respect to parking. So There are a number of other people on the other side of this issue as well, and those are the residents. And we ask people to observe the law. If there's some reason that we should change the law at this stage, we'd love to hear from you and others about that. But though there are very, very limited parking spaces in the Georgetown area, and certainly that includes the alleys, and those ticket writers are simply carrying out what the law is at this point.
But you've certainly heard this complaint before, and this is not a new complaint in D.C., that it's tough to do business in the district, and sometimes it keeps people from doing business in the district. And this is a guy who is trying to bring goods in so that residents in the district can buy them. What do you say to those business owners?
Well, again, Mark, we've got, you know how Georgetown is. Since we're focusing on that, Georgetown has very limited spaces with very narrow alleys. You get a delivery vehicle that parks in an alley, for example, in Georgetown. You can't even get the cars to be able to move through, which is a huge irritant, to people who live in the area and others who are trying to do business down there as well. It's a balancing act that we're trying to engage in. And frankly, there are people who abuse it. There's some like, the caller who, take their delivery in and move right on. There are other people who will go in there and actually park their vehicles, put the emergency lights on and almost use it as a parking space.
Let's get another caller in here. We have David is calling from the district. David, you're on with the mayor. Go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning.
Hey, I'm a daily commuter in the D.C. area, and I was wondering what new technologies that your DOT folks are deploying as far as helping to ease with some of the congestion in the afternoons to get us out back to our home destinations after a day's work.
Well, first of all, we're trying to get people out of automobiles. That would be a good start. We just released our sustainability sustainable D.C. plan this week. And transportation is one of the focal points of that, trying to get people to think about, walking where that's feasible, using bicycles, using public transportation. We're going to open a new streetcar line, the first streetcar line in modern era next year. And we hope, one, David, that people will start to use increasingly the public conveyances that we have, the buses, the metro, which we think will help move people more quickly and more efficiently around the city. And, of course, you can always go on the DDOT website that will provide updated information as we try to get people moved around. We've got now with the parking meters, you don't have to carry lots of quarters around in your pocket anymore. You can use your cell phone. You can use technology to be able to pay for the parking meter. And it helps people cut down, frankly, on the number of tickets they get. People running back to a meter, and missing it by 2 minutes as somebody puts the ticket on the windshield. That day is over for those who choose to use that technology, and we hope you and others will.
Let me ask you about that technology. It's the Park Mobile app, and I'll tell you, I use it every day, and it works very well. It is a very convenient tool, but one of the problems with it is that you're restricted to 2 hours in most zones. The Park Mobile app sends you a text message when your 2 hours is up and allows you to extend it for another 2 hours, which is against the law. You're not allowed to keep feeding the meter beyond that, and people end up getting tickets. Why not have that Park Mobile app? It would be simple to program that app so that you wouldn't be able to do that. People complain that you're almost being set up by this app to get a ticket.
I think we've got an incompatibility there, Mark. That is something that we'll work on. We wanted to advance the state of the art, if you will, by removing the requirement that people walk around with all of these quarters. We've obviously been able to do that. And if there are areas we need to continue to perfect it, which is probably the case, we're going to do that.
D.C. Mayor Vince Gray here for the next hour, taking your calls and emails on Ask the Mayor.
Now more of Ask the Mayor with D.C. Mayor Vince Gray, exclusively on WTOP and WTOP.com. Back to your hosts, Mark C. Graves and Mark Lewis.
Here's the number you need to call to get on the broadcast, 877-336-1035. That's 877-336-1035. If you have a question for Mayor Gray, you can email us at WTOP.com. Check out the discussion on our Facebook page as well, or send a question via Twitter. Use the hashtag AskTheMayor. Here's Mark C. Graves.
Mayor Gray, let's talk about a little good news for a minute. You and I were together last night at a local establishment, and you were leading the cheer of RG3. You know, the Caps are clearly on a roll. Wizards are doing the Nats. Mm-hmm. We're firing on all cylinders. This is really, it's been a long time for D.C. sports fans since we've had so much to cheer about.
It really is a wonderful moment, Mark. Periodically we've had a great team doing something. But to look at this situation where you look across the board and our professional teams are doing so well, the Wizards, which have had, they've had a difficult season, but I think they won five in a row now. They're on a roll. The Caps, obviously, that great series in which they were involved in. The Nationals, and a couple of months ago, I said to folks they're going to win, 90 games this year. And by the way, There's a guy who a lot of people don't know who he is, who I think has done a phenomenal job with the Nationals, Mike Rizzo. Mike Rizzo is the general manager for the Nationals. He has helped to build their farm system, their, you know, preparatory programs, if you will. Got a message from him about 2 or 3 months ago. He said, "Mayor, I just want you to know that we have gone from having the worst farm system in the major leagues to now being rated as the best." And you can see the results of it. Look at the pitching staff that we have. So I want to make sure that they know there's a guy like Mike Rizzo out there who is helping to build this team.
Now,
and, of course, RG3.
Well, you know, it wasn't too long ago that you actually made some national news when you publicly said you didn't want Peyton Manning coming. The Redskins shouldn't think about Peyton Manning.
That's right.
They should go for you. You were, you know, almost prolific. You said prophetic. You said they should get a younger quarterback, someone who could be here for the long haul. It looks like that's what they've done. Talk about RG3.
I think he is phenomenal. He's obviously an incredible football player. Probably may well be the fastest person to ever play at the position of quarterback. Very smart young man. Those who have seen him interviewed have to come away impressed with just, you know, beyond his athletic skills, but his acumen for the game. He's so well grounded. You look at his family, a wonderful family. I'm just so impressed with him, and I'm just delighted that he is coming to play for our team here in Washington, D.C.
Well, he's not coming to play in Washington, D.C., is he?
The Washington Redskins. That's right. They play outside the city. We'd love to have him back here, Mark. I've said that to anybody that will listen. I'd love to see them back in the city.
Are we any closer to that actually being a reality?
No, you know, we're not. You know, you have discussions and that sort of thing, but we really aren't close to having that happen at this point.
Let's get back into some hard news. You recently rolled out a new 5-year plan for D.C. public schools. One of the things you're looking at is extending the school year and extending the school day. Put some meat on those bones. What are you talking about? How many extra days? How long would you like to see school? And how soon could these changes take place?
Well, what I'd like to do is for the in the immediate future is to do some pilots that would extend the day, maybe to 4:30, 5 o'clock. Do the same thing with a few schools for extending the year. We're continuing to talk with the chancellor, who I think is doing an absolutely phenomenal
job.
Kaya Henderson, who, by the way, she got an honorary doctorate degree from Georgetown University last Saturday, and I was so proud of her and so proud to be there to be a part of what was a great moment, you know, for her. But for us, it's time for us to get rid of what I think is an agrarian concept. And that is, you know, the days, you know, in the 19th century when it was thought that children had to get home early to help out with the chores, when they had to get out of school in June and go back at the end of the summer to help out with the farming. Well, we're long past that era at this stage. And I think we can improve outcomes for children by expanding that. So my first step is to look at, can we take a few schools, extend the day, take a few schools, extend the year.
How soon might that happen?
We could possibly do some things next year. The chancellor is now, you know, she's got this grant program that's been put together that will ask for innovations. Schools can apply for dollars for innovations. And one of the things that we hope that they will apply for would be dollars to say, we want to have a longer school day, we want to have a longer school year. And if you've got a school that wants to do that, that makes it so much easier.
But you've also said there are going to be fewer schools. How many schools do you see closing? Where might those schools be? What grade levels?
We don't know. But the reality is we've got far too many buildings. When you look at the D.C., traditional D.C. public schools, we have 123 school buildings. Charter schools now on 53, 54 campuses, more slated to open, 53, 54 schools on 90-some campuses, because some of these schools have multiple locations and buildings. Mark, that's well over 200 schools we have for 76,000 kids. When you look at Fairfax, Montgomery, Prince George's, they have fewer schools, far more students. It's not sustainable.
So are you talking 10 schools, 20 schools?
We don't know. We're gonna take some time to look at that. The chancellor and I met on Wednesday, and we talked about, you know, the process of looking at the number of schools we have, where they are, who's being served, what is the enrollment at this stage. If you were to think about some consolidations, what would they look like? And the other thing we want to do too, Mark, is something that really hasn't been done except episodically in the past, and that is if we're going to say a school building will no longer be used for that purpose, we want to work with those communities to say, okay, what other additional purposes can we put it to? A senior center, a recreation center, something that the community
wants. Charter schools?
Well, it could be charter schools, absolutely.
Should they have priority?
Well, they do have priority. But the reality is we haven't solved the problem if we just take a D.C. public school and turn it into a charter school. That still is the same number of buildings being used for educational purposes, well beyond the need.
D.C. Mayor Vincent Gray here taking your calls and emails on Ask the Mayor.
You're listening to Ask the Mayor with D.C. Mayor Vince Gray on WTOP and WTOP.com. Now back to Mark Seagraves and Mark Lewis.
Mayor Gray taking your phone calls at 877-336-1035. That's 877-336-1035. Dial carefully. Phone lines are jammed, so please be patient with us. We are also taking your questions via Twitter. Use the hashtag AskTheMayor. Now, once again, WTOP's Mark Seagraves.
Speaking of Twitter, people can stop tweeting me this question because I will now ask it for you. I've gotten a lot of tweets on this. How can you help hundreds of kids who have no safe place to eat or sleep in the district? What are your plans for children who are at risk like this?
Well, of course, the issue probably relates to the number of families who we have homeless, and that number certainly has increased, Mark. We're actually working pretty hard to increase the stock of affordable housing that we have. We've brought on, since I came into office in January of 2011, we brought on 1,100 new units of housing. We've got another 1,100 in the pipeline at this stage. We have put additional money into the local rent supplement program, which really helps people to subsidize the rent when they may not be able to afford where they are living. We're hoping that we get some additional money in our commercial taxes so we can start to build, once again, the Housing Production Trust Fund, which provides grants and loans to people who want to build affordable housing. But, you know, all of that notwithstanding, this is a very difficult problem that every city in America right now is experiencing. We have probably 40 to 50% more families in shelter at this stage than we had at the same time last year. And so much of this is a function of the economy.
Let's get another caller in here. Foe is calling from Ward 8. You're on with the mayor.
Hi, good morning, Mayor.
How you doing?
I'm doing really good. I want to thank you for the new Dunbar Senior High School and also the new blue that's coming to Congress Heights in 2014, so I really appreciate that. But my question is in regards to the vision you have for a technology hub in Ward 8 at the East Campus. I really appreciate your vision, really connecting with that. But I'm concerned about my neighbors, particularly the youth in Ward 8, and how will they be able to participate in your vision? And hopefully, once the hub is completed, will they be able to get jobs? Is there any kind of job training in place, such as the HOPE Project that is training kids right now? I mean, what do you have in plan to make sure that we get these jobs, sir?
Well, it's a great question. And frankly, we will have lost an opportunity if we don't make sure that the jobs are available to people who live in the District of Columbia, especially in Ward 8. As you well know, while our unemployment rate has come down from 11.2% citywide to 9.8%, we still have the highest unemployment rate in the city. In Ward 8, it still hovers around 20%, which is extremely high. That's one of the things we want to do with our high schools. We want to make sure that we have technology curricula, STEM curricula, science, technology, engineering, and math in our high schools. We're doing it at H.D. Woodson High School, and it will be a part of the new Ballou High School as well. We want to invest with the work we're doing with DOES, and our director there, Lisa Mallory, has done a phenomenal job in the time that she's been the director since I came into office virtually, and beginning to reform that agency. We're putting together now efforts through our Workforce Investment Council to make sure that there is training that will be provided to people in technology. There's a lot being done, and what we're doing also, this summer, is encouraging more and more of our technology firms to hire young people, summer youth employees, in technology opportunities. We obviously pay the wage. Unless they want to do it, it would add to the numbers we can serve. But we will pay the wage for those kids. We have 14,000 in the summer youth employment program. We want them exposed to those experiences as well. So we're doing this on a lot of fronts because we recognize that those opportunities are available. The Coast Guard will be moving in on the west side of the campus in May of 2013. They will bring in, over time, 4,400 new employees to that, and there will be a lot of technology opportunities that will follow behind. We are also going to reach out to fledgling businesses and work with them to try to help them develop their business plan, and then, you know, in return, them offering jobs to people who live in the city.
Let's get another caller in. Ron is calling from D.C. Ron, you're on with the mayor.
Yes, how you doing?
Is this Ron Moten?
Yes, sir.
Ron Moten, you're, in full disclosure, a candidate for D.C. Council in Ward 7 and a former head of Peaceaholics. Go ahead, Ron.
Yes, how you doing? Some time ago, Mayor, first of all, how you doing? I met with you in 2009, and we had a conversation. We were protesting about term limits and about the budget cuts and things of that nature. And one of the things that we were talking about was the $1.3 million that you were giving to Harry Thomas. And you were cutting all the earmarks and funding for all the nonprofits that work with the children throughout the city. And you said that he was going to get the money and it was going to be competitively bid. And I was telling you that the money was not going to go to the people, just like.
Ron, is there a question?
I want to know, do you regret the fact that you still gave him that money after you were warned what he was going to do with the money?
Well, that's, first of all, is inaccurate information in your question. I never gave any money to any council member, and I presumably you know that. And as a candidate for office, I would suggest that you get your information straight. The money went over to the trust. The money was designated to be for gang intervention and was to be competitively bid through the Children and Youth Investment Trust. So I would urge you in the future when you talk about this to at least provide the facts to people. So, again, that was the way it was to be administered. And I think you also know, because you were down there protesting the elimination of earmarks. And I said at the time that giving money specifically to organizations, specifically the one that you were associated with, as well as others, the Peaceaholics, was not an appropriate thing to do, and that there were problems going to be associated with that. And we've seen the problems associated with it. And I think we've gone to a point now, which I urged, that we competitively bid these opportunities and let organizations compete for dollars.
D.C. Mayor Vincent Gray here till 11 o'clock, taking your calls and emails on Ask the Mayor.
Now more of Ask the Mayor with D.C. Mayor Vince Gray, exclusively on WTOP and WTOP.com. Back to your hosts, Mark C. Graves and Mark Lewis.
Your final chance to Ask the Mayor is now at 877-336-1035. That's 877-336-1035.
Mayor Gray, let's finish up on Harry Thomas. He will be sentenced coming up very shortly. I believe it's next week, May 3rd. He actually, a federal judge will sentence him. He's facing several years possibly in jail. Your attorney general wrote a letter to the judge with his thoughts on the sentencing. What are your thoughts? How much time, if any, do you think Harry Thomas should serve for what he did?
Well, again, that's going to be left to the courts. There's obviously a very well laid out process for making those decisions, and it's not something that obviously I'm involved in. It's, you know, obviously regrettable what happened. It's still, as Harry Thomas is somebody I have known for years. I've known his family. I knew Mr. Thomas, you know, his father, who's
former councilman.
That's right. Mrs. Thomas, who's one of the most accomplished educators in the city. She's principal of a school, highly respected. So the whole thing continues to be an enigma to me. And, you know, he's now acknowledged, he's admitted what has happened. There's sentencing guidelines that are laid out. And along the way, we hope that, you know, it's taken into consideration what he's done for the city over time.
Do you think he should serve time in prison? Do you think he should be able to just do probation and stay out? Or would you weigh in at all on that?
No, I think that should be left to the courts. The courts will make that decision. They've got a lot more
data. You'd be satisfied if a judge said probation is enough? That he's admitted to stealing $300,000 of tax money that was intended for inner city youth.
Yeah, I think the consequences should be, you know, they should be appropriate with what one has done. I have said many times that money was intended for baseball for kids. It's something, frankly, that he has spent a lot of his time coaching kids, working with kids. It's a complete oddity and enigma to me. But at the end of the day, all that has to be taken into consideration. All of the nature of the crime has to be taken into consideration. And, you know, you have to send a message to other people.
Are you reluctant? A lot of people think that you, because you have been, and other council members have also been reluctant to really weigh in on the Harry Thomas thing from day one. Some called for his resignation, others didn't. But there's a thought that you are perhaps kind of staying at arm's length from this because you are currently under federal investigation. Does that play into your thought?
No, it has absolutely nothing to do with it. It has to do with, you know, that authority is vested with the courts. I understand what happened. I've been very clear about the fact that money was taken from kids. It's a reprehensible thing. I've talked to some folks in the community who would like to raise money to help replace some of that. It should not have been done. It was a crime that was committed. It should not have been done, and the punishment should be commensurate with what was done.
Washington Post has a story that Jim Graham is going to release a report that he believes that there were other people inside the government that helped Harry Thomas do this fraud to the government. What are your thoughts about that? And do you still have either the AG or the IG or anybody still looking at this situation?
Well, it's an ongoing investigation. The Attorney General is looking at it, as well as the U.S. Attorney's Office is continuing to look at it. And Mr. Graham has information to that, you know, to that effect. He ought to put it on the table because by innuendo.
But he wants subpoena power now in order to compel that information.
Yeah, and I think all of that has to be taken into consideration. You know, when you look at the ongoing investigations, you don't want to have investigations tripping over one another and potentially contaminating the entire process. Again, the Attorney General is involved in this, actively involved, as well as the U.S. Attorney.
Has there been any new movement in the investigation into your campaign? Have you been asked for any more documents? Have you given any testimony yet, been called before a grand jury?
No, we have not. And we have continued to state what I stated in the very beginning, Mark, and that is that we will continue to cooperate fully with this investigation.
Let's get another caller. Sam is calling from Riverdale. Sam, you're on with the mayor.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead, Sam.
To know, you have a speed camera on Kennelwood Avenue North, hidden on the Benning Road Bridge, and those cameras are supposed to be visible?
He's wondering if the tactic of kind of hiding a stationary speed camera is legal.
Well, yes, but I've also been quite public in saying that as we've talked about adding more cameras around the city, I'd be happy to give people an orientation because the real goal here is to slow people down. I've talked about the fact that if you ride down the Southeast Southwest Freeway, there's a car that often sits on the side, and people know it is a camera car, for want of a better way of putting it. It's amazing to see how people hit those brake lights when they start to come up on that car. People going, you know, 40, 50, 60 miles an hour, slow down. That's the real goal of the cameras, to slow people down, a traffic calming initiative.
A lot of people say that your real goal is revenue-based, that it brings in millions and millions of dollars for the city. And in fact, D.C. has some of the highest fines in the country when it comes to speed camera enforcement. I believe it starts at about $150, whereas in Maryland, it's regulated that it can't be over $40. What do you say to people who think this is nothing more than a revenue generator and the fines are just way out of the norm of what they should be?
Well, Mark, I've said repeatedly that this is an effort to slow people down and to create a safer environment, especially as we have more pedestrians and more bicyclists in the District of Columbia. You know, when it comes to the fine and people do those comparisons, my answer is that if you don't break the law, it doesn't matter what the fine is because you don't have to pay it.
You rolled out some good news about infant mortality. What is the upshot of that?
The upshot is that after years and years of investment, it's kind of ironic because I was the director of human services back when we really started a concerted effort. And Dr. Muhammad Akhtar, who's now currently our Department of Health director, was the health director in the city at the time. We started an effort that was federally funded called Healthy Start. And a lot of it focused on prenatal care, getting women to stop smoking, working with some of our community-based organizations like the one that Brenda Miller heads to reduce teen pregnancies. We're now, Mark, seeing, you know, after years of investment and effort, we're seeing that pay off. When we started this, our infant mortality rate was something like citywide 20-plus deaths per 1,000 live births. And by the way, infant mortality is defined as a child who dies within the first year after birth. We're down to 8. At this stage, the national average is 6.1. We are moving rapidly towards the national average, which is phenomenal news.
D.C. Mayor Vincent Gray, we appreciate you coming in and taking questions on Ask the Mayor.
Thank you, Mark.